we're in the middle of the Sedra Nosai, which is being read for the, being learned, I should say, for the second time, because whenever Yom Tov falls on a Shabbat, we do not read the Seder of the week on that Shabbat. We read the festival in Shul.
So we should have read this last week.
That's right. We did. Well, we should have done it. But we had this pre-Shavuot occasion, yeah. So we did not. So we now have the opportunity of reading this Seder. So really, it's read over a period of 2 weeks.
Right.
So in Shul, it's only read on one Shabbat, of course.
What are we going to read in Shul on Saturday?
We're going to read the Sedra Nosai, which starts on page 257. But I am beginning in the middle of the Sedra.
Oh, it's 262.
We're on page 262, and we're going to discuss the priestly blessings. You may have noticed, if you've been in shul on a festival, that you've probably seen the priests, the kohanim, go behind the scenes to wash their hands. And who, of course, washes their hands, Michelle? Who serves the kohanim, the priests?
Levites.
Exactly. The Levites, the Levian. Because that was their job in the temple, the Mishkan, and the temple later in later years, was to be the on duty, shall we say. The priest did the work of dealing with the sacrifices and, you know, slaughtering, sprinkling the blood on the altar, burning the incense and things like that. But the Levites also had a job in the temple and the Mishkan. They, for example, were, you were talking about music before,
yes,
in your family.
Yes. Yes.
And the Levites were superb musicians, and they had an orchestra in the temple. Amazing, isn't it? Why is it amazing? Because we know in synagogues today, in Orthodox synagogues, you do not have an orchestra,
right,
because you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbat or festivals. But in the temple, the various restrictions that the rabbis put on the ordinary Jewish individual or the ordinary Jewish community, many of them did not apply in the temple. The temple had a different subset of laws which applied only in the temple. You know, a lot of the Shabbat laws did not apply. For example, on Shabbat we're not allowed to slaughter animals, shecht. But in the temple they had to, because they had to bring sacrifices. On Shabbat we're not allowed to burn fire, but in the temple they had to. They had to burn the sacrifices. And so on. So there's quite a lot of laws, quite a number of laws, which we are restricted by on Shabbat and festivals, but in the temple they were allowed to do it, and included in that is playing musical instruments. So even on Shabbat, in the temple, the Levites would go up on a stage, there was a stage there, and they would have this multi-part orchestra, and the number of instruments that are mentioned in Psalm 150 is the last of the Hallelujahs, one of the songs of praise at the end of the book of Psalms, and there it mentions 10 different musical instruments, and these were used in the temple, and they made music. Incidentally, we have a tradition in Lubavitch that the song, or not song, but the tune that's used for the Birchat Kohanim, which we're going to discuss now, the blessings of the priests, the tune that we use is said to have been used in the temple, and it's been handed down throughout the generations in an unbroken tradition, and that's what we're told. There's no proof of it, of course, but, you know, it's a nice thought. So let's home in on the priestly blessing, and this is page 262, as we said, and it's verse 22. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Lema. God spoke to Moses, saying, Daber el Aaron vel Bonav Lema. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, Kos Varuchu es Bnei Yisrael Omer Lohem. So you shall bless the children of Israel, say to them as follows. So this is a message from God to Moses to speak to Aaron and give him the instructions that from there on, that from that time on, they should daily, this is a daily thing, they should do the priestly blessing. Now the question is, why do we not do the priestly blessing daily now? We don't do it every day.
You have to go to work.
Very good, Michelle.
No, I was going to say because...
Very good.
Because there's no Beth Mikvah.
No, because people...
No, in Israel, in Jerusalem today, they do the priestly blessing every day. But outside Israel, and even in other cities within Israel, they do not do the priestly blessing every day.
Do we have it on our Shabbat?
Where do we have it? On Shabbat, that was because it was Shavuot.
Oh.
It was on a normal Shabbat, we don't do it.
Oh, I see.
But in Jerusalem, as I say, at least in Jerusalem, I think there must be other places too, maybe Tzfas, but I know it's not all the cities in Israel, they do the priestly blessing on a daily basis, even now. But, why do we not do it? So one of the things it says, that, say to them, and the commentaries say, the Talmud says, it should be done in a way of unhurried, and a relaxed way, not a hurried way, not having to get to a meeting, not having to get to work. So your point, Michelle, is excellent. That is actually the reason given why we do not do the priestly blessing every day, because it would be very difficult to do it in a relaxed way, which is the way it's supposed to be done.
Oh.
However, having said that, there was a book of stories written by an old chassid who lived in the previous generation. His son is still alive. His name was Reb Rafael Kahn. His son, actually, Reb Yael Kahn, he should be well, is the Rebbe's chief chayzer. That means a chayzer is somebody who repeats and remembers and repeats the talks which the Rebbe gives and the Maimorim, the Hasidic discourse. Because if you think about it, when the Rebbe speaks, he speaks many times on Shabbat or festivals when you cannot record what he's saying. So how would his words be recorded? The answer is no, they were not recorded, but they were remembered. And after Shabbat and after Yom Tov, a group of dedicated individuals would sit down, led by Rabbi Yoel Kahn, and he would do Chazorah, what's called. Chazorah means repeat. And he would go over what the Rebbe said, almost word for word. He has the most amazing memory. And he could remember everything the Rebbe said over a period of 3-4 hours. So, then you'd have boys, the yeshiva boys, sitting near him and writing feverish notes and trying to get down what he was saying, in shorthand at least. And then afterwards it would be typed up and you'd get a version of what the Rebbe said. So this is how it's done. Now his father, Rafael Kahn, who's passed on, of blessed memory, was a devout chassid, and he went through the system of yeshiva life when he was a younger man in the early part of this century, of the last century rather. He already passed away a good few years ago. He probably would be around about 100 years old now, if not older. And he learned in the Lubavitch yeshivas, and being going through the system, he heard many, many Hasidic stories.
What's this got to do with the settlement?
I am going to explain now. So one of his Hasidic stories or remarks was that the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Schneur Zalman, Nishmosa Aden, was reported to have said the following. Because he was dismayed about the fact that the Birchas Kohanim, the priestly blessings, are not done every day, he said, if he would have had the power, probably the power of persuasion he means, if he wasn't afraid of perhaps his words not being listened to, he would have enacted 3 enactments changing the way we do things. And one of them was that every day, everywhere, not just in Jerusalem, we would say the priestly blessings. And it would be for everyone. Why? Yeah. Because it's really a mitzvah for every single day. And it does not depend on the temple. Over here, when we hear Moses giving the instructions to Aaron, he does not say to him, you must only do this in the temple. It's true they did it in the temple, but it's not confined to the temple. There are many things in the temple which are not confined to the temple. So that's one of his enactments. Another thing he said he would have liked to have instituted, that every Friday evening before the mincha prayer, the afternoon prayer, when we're just entering Shabbat, instead of saying, well, sorry, not before mincha, after mincha, when instead of saying L'chun Aranana, which is a number of paragraphs from the Book of Psalms, which are introductory to the entry to Shabbat, he would rather that it was instituted to say the book, the scroll, of the Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim in Hebrew. Now that was the second thing he suggested, but he said he would have done, he would have enacted if he would have felt that this would have been adhered to. And another thing which he wanted to enact was that even in Israel they should keep 2 days Yom Tov.
Well, they don't.
No, they don't.
Only keep one, don't they?
Oh, they don't. Now that's more of a difficult thing to understand, because that is actually brought in Halakha, in the Rambam, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, which is the laws of the fixing of the months. Maimonides explains why it is that in certain places in Israel they only keep 1 day, and that tradition remained. So why the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman — he wasn't really Lubavitcher Rebbe because he didn't live in Lubavitch, but still he was the first of the dynasty, Rabbi Shneur Zalman — why he was going to suggest this, it's not entirely clear to me. Anyway, that was just a by the way, that as Marion rightly asked, what's it got to do with the Sedra? It's got to do with what we're talking about, which is he wanted to enact it. I'm trying to bring out the point that the priestly blessing is a mitzvah for every single day. And not only that, but the blessings that accrue to us — pardon?
Is it for men and women?
Of course.
Men?
No, the ones that say the blessings, yes, utter the blessings, yes, that's only the Kohanim, only the men.
Men.
Not allowed to look.
Just the men.
Right, we're not allowed to look.
But
the blessing goes to everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Have you been in Egerton Road Shore?
Right.
I've been. You mean the new refurbished Egerton Road Shore?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Beautiful, yeah.
The tune for Kohanim is very heavenly.
It's like it's like walking into an ancient temple and men with the... Egerton Road.
Egerton Road Shore.
Oh. Yeah. Mm. Sorry, what were you saying, Marion?
Don't exaggerate.
It's absolutely...
What were you saying?
The tune for Kohanim, I find very heavenly.
Really is like...
Yes. Well, before you came in, I was just saying that we have a tradition in Lubavitch that our particular tune, I don't know if you're familiar with it, was actually used in the temple.
Beautiful, sure.
How...
I can't sing. I can hear it.
Beautiful.
Just say Kohanim.
That's a beautiful tune.
I can't. You know, it's a cynical tune.
No, the United Synagogue tune is different.
Oh, I like it. What one is the... Or you don't sing?
I do sing, but we'll leave it. You know, we're not doing the priestly blessings now. I'll maybe sing it for you later.
Oh, I see, because it's taking the...
No, it's no problem with it. It's just... We'll later on, I'll sing it for you. Okay, so we have the instruction to give the priestly blessing. Now, the priestly blessing is made up of three... sentences, psukim, and it says as follows: Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Beautiful.
Now Rashi explains why do we have to have that? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Isn't it enough for the Lord to bless us? What does it mean to keep you? V'yishmerecha actually doesn't just mean to keep, it means to guard.
Oh, I thought to look after you. What was I saying?
Exactly. Look after you. So Rashi answers, why do we need blessings and looking after? Surely the blessings would include being looked after and guarded. So he says very simply, the blessings ensure that we live in prosperity. Prosperity means also material prosperity. That means we have possessions.
We're waiting.
We have wealth. We have nice houses.
We're waiting.
And so on.
A nice house, not a nice house.
No, neither have I. We're waiting.
If God blesses us with all of these good things, if we are afraid of robbers coming and taking our possessions, then that's the blessing is wasted. You can have wonderful things, but if somebody robs you, then you don't have them anymore. And so therefore we want that blessings should go in the right direction. We should have the blessings, have the material wealth and everything that goes with it, but it should be guarded, and so that we remain with it rather than losing it.
That's what the mezuzah does.
The mezuzah indeed is a guard. It acts as a guard on the house. That is not the aim of the mitzvah. We don't say that that's the reason for the mitzvah, but it's an incidental benefit that we get from a mitzvah. And we get benefits from all mitzvahs and all Torah independently of the reason for it.
I understood that was the main reason the mezuzah is on
the... No, we do not say that the main reason for a mitzvah is for something of benefit to us. But we do say that it is a side benefit. That's, you know, an incidental benefit that accrues from having done the mitzvah. Yor Hashem ponav eilecha v'yichunecha. May the Lord shine His face upon you and favor you. Yisra Hashem ponav eilecha v'yosein l'cha shalom. May God raise His face to you and bestow upon you peace. Yisra Hashem, now Messias Ponim, what's called, that means it's like this idea of favoring in the previous sentence. It means making more allowances for us than for other people. That's what Messias Ponim means. It means favoring us. Let's say it says elsewhere in the Torah, Ki lo yisra ponim. It says that God will not favor, meaning that God approaches things in a judgmental way. If you deserve it, you get it, and if you don't deserve it, you don't. So the Talmud asks this question and says, how can it say over here...
It's often the other way around. Go on.
What? When you don't deserve something,
people that
you
don't deserve it,
and the ones that do, don't.
It works that way as well. People that you think don't deserve it, get it, and the ones that could do it...
All right, well, we're talking about God here, and God... God is perfect, and therefore He does things in a just way. But still, the Talmud asks this question: how can God say over here that He is going to treat us better than others? Yisra Hashem ponav eilecha. He's going to favor us. How can He do that when He's the God of justice? And it says in the Chumash, elsewhere, Ki lo yisra ponim. He will not favor anybody.
Do you mean favor the Jewish people?
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about. Yeah, not anyone, but particularly the Jewish people.
Correct. So the answer that's given over there is that God says, in answer to this challenge, V'chi lo yisra ponim, shall I not favor the Jewish people? Why? Because it says in the Torah, V'ochalta v'savata v'irachta, that you will eat and be satisfied and bless God. How much does it take for a person to eat and be satisfied? How much do you eat? You're all having a good notch of the biscuits and the crisps.
Yeah,
I'm not counting, but you know, it takes a little while before you're satisfied, doesn't it? So God said, this, my Jewish people, they read in the Torah that you should eat and be satisfied and bless God. You would expect that the amount that is needed to be satisfied would be a significant amount. But they say that as soon as we've eaten a kezias, which is only 1 ounce, they immediately want to bless God and bench. A Jew eats an ounce of bread, and he says, right, I'm going to bench. But the Torah doesn't demand that. The Torah says, eat and be satisfied and bench, and bless God. So God says, they are so eager to bless me, beyond the call of duty, that means that we are favoring God beyond the call of duty. So God says, how can I not favor them beyond the call of duty? When they treat me like that, I will treat them like that. So we have a general principle of Mida Keneged Mida, that God treats us the way we treat Him. So if we go out of our way to favor God, so He goes out of His way to favor us.
There is a sign of what do you want people you like to be treated the way you treat people the way you would like to be treated?
That is actually a law.
Yeah.
That is actually one of the laws of the Torah.
Yeah, treat people.
It's not just a saying.
No, but this stems a long time, and I've always retained this, that I treat people the way I would like to be treated.
Right.
I try and treat everyone.
Well, you are every moment.
The way I like to be treated.
Every moment that you are acting in that way, and even every moment that you're thinking that way.
Try.
You are fulfilling a positive commandment of the Torah, a mitzvah of the Torah, which is of immeasurable value.
Yeah, we try.
The way it's expressed in the Torah is, V'yohavta l'reicha kamocha, you shall love your fellow as yourself. So when Hillel was asked about what is the whole Torah, so he said, Madasoni loch l'chavar loch savid. What is hateful unto you, don't do to anybody else. In other words, we use ourselves as a gauge. That if I don't like certain behavior in my direction, I shouldn't do it to other people.
This is what I'm saying. You try.
And that's our gauge. And then by achieving that, we're treating our fellow as ourselves. Because we're saying, I'm not going to talk to this other person the way I don't like to be spoken to myself.
Why don't people live by that?
It's called the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is the evil inclination, and this is tempting us all the time to misbehave.
Yeah.
So therefore, we are in a constant battle to ensure that our behavior is according to the teachings of the Torah, and unfortunately, sometimes we fail. But even though we fail, we say in the daily Hamidah, the daily prayers, Salach lanu avinu ki chatanu, forgive us God for we have sinned, and we say Hashiveinu Hashem lekecha v'nashu, Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha, bring us back to your Torah, meaning the idea of tshuva, repentance. So on a daily basis, we're grappling with the challenge, and we realize we're failing. And so we ask forgiveness, and we say to God, please help us return to the right mode of behavior.
Yeah.
So this is our constant battle. We'll never ever solve this until our dying day.
No.
Because God has decreed that every person should have a Yetzirah in order to make sure that we have free choice. Because if we did not have any evil inclination, we'd only choose good all the time. And He wants us to have that challenge and overcome the challenge, and thereby earn the reward that goes with living a good Jewish life. So finally, says Moshe, V'samu eshmi al v'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem. And they will put my name on the Jewish people, and I will bless them. Now Rashi over there says that the words v'ani avarchem is ambiguous, because it can mean I will bless them. Who is being blessed? God is the one talking. We know that's not ambiguous. God is going to bless somebody. Who is he talking to?
So
that's one of the explanations.
Yeah,
God is saying, if the Kohanim, the priests, do what I've asked them to do, and they get up on their platform, and they raise their hands in a particular way, and they say the blessings, and they utter these blessings of may the Lord bless you and keep you, etc., etc., then I, God, will use them as a vehicle for blessing the Jews. So we learn from this, and I'm going to tell you the other explanation in a moment, but we learn from this an interesting thing. That God is saying about the priests that they are conduits. They are channels. They're like pipes. Just like a pipe is used to bring water from one place to another, the pipe doesn't actually do anything. It just channels the water that it should go from the tank to, you know,
point A to point B.
Point A to point B. The pipe doesn't really participate. It doesn't add anything. It's just the vehicle. So same thing with the Kohanim. They don't add anything. Their job is to be the conduit, to do as they're told, stand up there, have the right intentions, which we're told that they should have a feeling of love for the Jewish people when they do this, and their blessing, which they say before they do the priestly blessing, includes the words to bless the Jewish people be'ahava, with love. That is a condition for them to do the priestly blessing. But be that as it may, they just stand there, they say the words, and God says, you know, if you do what's right, I will bless the Jewish people. Now that is explanation number one. Explanation number two is, says Rashi, V'ani avarchem, says God, I will bless them, I'll bless the priests. For the reward of them being vehicles to bless the Jewish people, I will bless them. And that's why it says to Abram, it says, God said to Abram, V'avarchem avarchecha, I will bless those that bless you. But that means we learn from there that anyone that gives a blessing gets a blessing back from God. It's like when you're handing on something to someone else, God replaces it. You're giving a blessing to someone else, he gives it to you. Now, I must tell you an amusing story.
Mitzvah
gereres mitzvah. Well, it's related. But God is saying, if you hand on blessings to others, I will bless you. Anyone that blesses a Jew gets blessed himself.
And anybody that does the opposite?
So, pardon? Well, God did actually add the opposite as well, and he said, "Umekalelcha ar," which means those that curse you, I will curse. So it's always a good deal to bless Jews.
The blessings and the curse, that's where it comes from.
Well, the blessings and the curse comes later on in the Chumash and the Seder Re'eh in Devarim. But the concept of blessing and curse appears quite often.
That story.
Pardon?
Did you read it? The one about the...
Yes, very beautiful story. About the Leica.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah.
What's the Leica?
Well, we'll tell it later. We won't interrupt the Shina. But let me just tell you an amusing story that happened to me along the lines of what we've been talking about. That I was, in my job, I worked for different customers, which means going to customer site from time to time. And on this occasion, this was me about 10 years ago, I was working for Barclays Bank. I mean, I don't work for Barclays Bank, but this was an assignment, and I had to work in Barclays Bank in the city, one of the many Barclays Banks in the city. This was near Liverpool Street Station.
You had to work in the branch, yeah?
In a branch, well, in one of the head offices. So I'm walking down, I took the train from Stamford Hill to Liverpool Street Station, I'm walking out of the station, I'm walking down Liverpool Street, and minding my own business, it's 9:30 in the morning, I'm going to the office, and suddenly I'm gripped from behind with a vice-like grip around like the back of my shoulders. It was so strong I couldn't turn around. I thought I was being attacked. And there's this tall, I could just like move my head like this, and I could see this tall figure to my left. You know, he had his right arm around the back of me. He didn't hug me like this. He just one arm, but he had me such a strong grip that I couldn't move. So I stopped, and then I hear, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and favor you."
Was he Jewish?
No. "May the Lord lift up his face to you and bestow upon you peace." So I was in total shock. What on earth is going on? Anyway, he released his grip a little bit. He released his grip. He's a tall, handsome, not young, not old, looked in his 50s. And I said, "What on earth? What's this all about?" He said, "Whenever I see an Orthodox Jew or an identifiable Jew, I always bless them. Because it says in the book of Genesis, Va'avorcha," he didn't say the Hebrew. He says, "God said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you."
So he must have been a
So he said, "I want God's blessings. So whenever I see a Jew, I always bless them."
What was he? What was he? White Christian?
Well-dressed. Business, like he was in the city. Business, in city garb.
Tony Blair.
He was, wearing a city suit, and he looked decent.
You wouldn't expect that.
Middle class.
There are decent people.
He's definitely a decent person, and he says, "You know what?" He says, "Wherever if I can see a Jew, if I know they're Jewish, I go up to them and bless them."
Why did he learn to come to Stamford Hill?
I'm going to say this. Thank you.
And then he produces a card, and he says, "Not only do I do it myself," he said, I have a small society of like-minded people, and we all do it wherever we go."
You were told to come here because they don't believe in the
Vatican. Well, he didn't mention anything to do with Christianity before. I said, "You know, this is an amazing coincidence. I mean, we know there's nothing such, no such thing as coincidence."
God forbid you're going to be mugged.
Well, that's what it felt like at first. There's nothing as coincidence, but this was the coincidence. The Hashgacha Prot is the divine providence. I said, "You know something? I just happened to have seen, only about 3 weeks ago, a newspaper report in the Jewish Chronicle that said..." And he's listening. "That said that there was an Orthodox Jew in JFK Airport in New York Kennedy Airport, and a man came up to him and confronted him and said, "May the Lord bless you and keep you."
Maybe it's him.
"May the Lord favor you," and the whole formula. So this Jew was taken aback. Oh yeah, he thanked him, yeah. And then this man explained. He said, I want the godly blessings, etc. So I bless Jews. And then the next thing now, I don't know how they got hold of this report. The next thing that happened was that this Gentile, who had blessed the Jew when he went up to the desk to check in, he was given a free upgrade to first class. So he said, somehow they got a reporter must have seen this or whatever, or maybe the Orthodox Jew was with him and heard what happened. It was reported to the press, and he was reported to have said, "You see, I blessed an Orthodox Jew, I blessed a Jew, and it says the ones that bless you will be blessed. I got a blessing on the spot. I got a first class seat across from New York to London."
May not have been because of that.
So this is what he said. Whether it's true or not, it will leave to your imagination. When I told him this, he said, "That was me." He said, "That was me."
What does that mean? These things do happen.
So this guy is a fundamentalist, but in the best possible way. He's realizing that what the Torah says, "I will bless those that bless you," that the best thing for humanity is to be good to the Jewish people. Because the more blessing that's bestowed upon the Jewish people, the more that rebounds on the rest of humanity. So we all wish ourselves that we should indeed be blessed and use our ability to bless others to do so. And we don't even if we meet Gentiles, non-Jewish people, we're allowed to bless other people as well.
I knew she was going to say that.
We're allowed to bless other people. Not doesn't have to be Jewish people particularly.
Non-Jewish.
We can bless non-Jewish people also, because God wants that the whole world should be blessed through the children of Abraham, because it says the nivruchu v'cha. Kol mishpachos ha'adama uvezarecha, that they will be blessed in you, all the families of the earth and in your seed. And this was a blessing that was said to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and that is saying that God wants the world to be a prosperous, good place, and the vehicle for achieving that is by blessing the Jewish people. By the Jewish people being treated kindly by the Gentiles, that will have a knock-on effect on them, that they will also have prosperity. So we give ourselves the blessing that we should have these blessings, bestow it upon others, and thereby be the channel to enable God's blessings to shower upon the whole world, and to ultimately bring about the coming of our righteous Redeemer. It shall be tonight.
Hopefully.
And we'll all fly to Jerusalem on the clouds of glory.
Do you know what?
And we'll all celebrate in the temple together with Mashiach Sid Canaan.
Wow.